It gets so hard. It's so much fun.
I just came back on and all I heard was, it gets so hard, it's so much fun.
Hell yeah. I'm talking about bananas.
Yeah, welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode number 15. This is the special, we're going to get drunk and just make asses of ourselves episode. So, I'm here with Tony.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep. Jeff.
Banana.
Fozzie.
We're not.
Fozzie died.
Yeah, doggy.
and we have a special guest tonight, the host of the Game Over podcast, Javier Rodriguez. So we were watching some irate gamer videos before we kicked this shit off. That's terrible.
Freaking amazing.
We were giving more views to an ignorant person.
I'm so happy someone else knows about this. You know, Jeff was like, have you guys heard of the... Why does Jeff sound southern? Have you guys heard of the irate gamer? I'm like, yes, Jeff, we have. Yep, this is funny stuff.
So, Jeff, you've also heard of Splatterhouse.
Yeah.
How is it?
I played it for like 10 minutes earlier tonight, so I'm fully qualified to do a full review, as you
right.
know.
Right.
Give us just like Irate Gamer. Give us the Irate Gamer review right now.
Oh, this game is remember, like, there's an old game, there was Splatterhouse, and it was on the arcade, and there's a new one, and you run around fighting stuff.
That's pretty cool.
you know what's funny is I realized I don't think a lot of people born 1990 remember Splatterhouse. Like, I was asking people at work today, I'm like, yeah, you know Splatterhouse? They're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. I remember it was a pretty big deal when it came out. Like,
it was a huge deal. Like, not Mortal Kombat huge, but I remember controversy. I remember wanting to get like a TurboGrafx for it, and I remember, like, I think my buddy had it on Sega Genesis, which is like another reason I wanted a Genesis.
I mean, I remember it. I remember it vividly, but it's not because I wanted it. I was a little too young. It actually scared the shit out of me.
My microphone has been off this whole time. God damn it.
Yeah, doggy. That's why we were making fun of you for not being there.
Mother boner.
And Fozzie.
Thanks for coming, Fozzie.
Yeah, I was just saying that I've never heard of this. Can we go back and maybe talk about the premise for it a little bit?
Premise of Splatterhouse?
The original was like a 1989 like arcade game, I think, and it was like a side-scrolling beat 'em up, but like really gory, and you look kind of like Jason from Friday the 13th, and that was like the big draw of it back then.
Except you were a hero, like
you're the good guy, but you have some like cursed mask that makes you all big and hulkish, and you're trying to save your girlfriend, and they were pretty. There was like three of them, I think, and they were pretty fun for like what they were.
No, they have a huge, huge following. There's a lot of people out there that love Splatterhouse. Actually, Damon Hatfield's one of those people. So
huge following. They were,
cool. Like the first one has some like cool, like inventive boss battles. Like one battle is like you just enter a room and it's all haunted and it's like possessed and the fucking furniture is like flying at you and shit. And so you just have to like kill all the furniture in the room.
I know in the second one, there's a chainsaw and there's a room with a bunch of fetuses that are coming down from the ceiling with the chainsaw. Pretty
bad. That doesn't seem pleasant at all.
So they were like pretty cool games, but like it's been a long dormant franchise that Namco is trying to bring back.
So this is a remake. Not even a sequel.
More like a reboot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't it's reboot like, me.
You know, next gen version of Splatterhouse.
Yeah, doggy.
How is it, Jeff? Because I think it looks really cool, but from what I hear, it sucks.
I don't know. It's hard for me to be the judge of it because, well, one, I only played it for 10 minutes, and two, it's like another one of those button-mashing, like, God of War-type games that I don't care for those types of games, so.
Like, I've heard, you know, people say, like, God of War was very, you know, mindless pressing buttons, and I guess, you know, you can get by doing that on easier difficulties, but like some of the most refined kind of combat there is out there, you know, like if you're playing on hard, you have to know what the hell you're doing on God of War, at least on the better kind of games like Devil May Cry and all that.
That's why it's hard for me to be the judge of it, because I don't know all the nuances of God of War. Like, it feels like to me, like, X is your normal attack, Y is your like stronger attack, you know,
right,
shit like that. Like,
it's once you get to the higher difficulties, it's more about like knowing the combos and
knowing what enemies do and how to take them down, all that.
Blocking and rolling and
yep.
So it's kind of hard to say, but from like what little I've played of God of War, like the one thing that kind of drew me to that series is like really interesting like battles and shit. Like, you know, like the opening of God of War 2 is just like this big boss battle, you know, and like Splatterhouse is just like running room to room and killing a bunch of enemies. So
You know what's weird is, like, you know, that I can understand, like, running room to room, that would definitely get annoying or get boring. But, you know, you can't really hold it against them because you look at the old games and that's literally what it was, except you're going left to right, you know.
But, like, two things I can say about it that I, you know, didn't really like is, one, there's a couple things I didn't like. I noticed in the first couple minutes, like, when you're fighting enemies, blood is just splashing all over the screen a lot, so it's hard to see what's going on. There's the mask narrates, it like talks to you, and it's kind of juvenile and annoying. And although when you die, it's like, you fucking noob.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like awesome. Scarface, where it's like, you fucked up, man.
Yeah, that's right. But the biggest annoying thing I've noticed in like the short time I played it was when you die, to load up again takes at least a full minute. So you die, it's like, you know, continue, and you're just sitting there at a loading screen for a minute. Like a full minute, so.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'd be kind of pissed. I'd be really pissed.
I'd give it a shot, though, if, like, you really like those types of games and you remember Splatterhouse. Everyone else, stay away.
I don't understand why people keep rebooting these games that haven't been rebooted in years.
No one even remembers.
Right. Golden Axe, why did they bring back Golden Axe?
Did they bring back GoldenEye?
Oh, yeah,
right.
It was one of the worst games that came out last year.
That was that half-naked girl that just rode beasts, right? Like Beast Rider.
Right, and they did that wrong.
Right. No, I mean, there's some cases.
There's some good ones. Like, how about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ones?
Hey, what about Sands of Time when that came out?
Oh, they weren't awesome, though. Wait, which one are you talking about, Jeff?
Sands of Time when it came out?
Yeah, the 3D remake was pretty sweet.
Like, I didn't know anything about Prince of Persia. You know, that was a little bit before me. Or, like, I just didn't play PC back then, so.
Right.
Right, but these are franchises that have had a lot of games come out over the years. I'm talking more like franchises that have been dormant for over a decade. Like, there's a reason they've died and there haven't been any games. And whenever they bring them back, they tend to flop. I mean,
A good example of a game that I'm happy they brought back was Bionic Commando Rearmed. I know they did the Bionic Commando reboot, which everybody hated, but I thought it was decent. It wasn't horrible. I'm happy. I still have it.
I didn't like it, but I think they do better when they try to stay true to the original roots. So they go with the 8-bit look. They go with the original level design that worked instead of trying to shoehorn it into a modern game. Whenever they do that, it just doesn't work. Like, Mega Man has been tremendously successful doing that.
Sure.
But can you imagine, like, trying to do, like, a full, like, HD 360-type Mega Man? I think it was a game. You want that old 8-bit look.
I'd be interested. You know, I was one of the few people that thought what was it called? Legends on the 64, where it was like 3D Mega Man running around. I thought that was like really neat, but it played like garbage, but that was because the 64 sucked. So, I don't know, like a full cel-shaded cartoony Mega Man running around in HD. Yeah, I'm down with that. I don't know. I'd be curious about it. I wouldn't rule it out.
You can have the best of both worlds. Like, look at Metroid Prime. I don't know how they made that work.
Yeah, but man.
It was 3D, but it felt like, you know, it felt like Super Metroid.
It's 3D and first person and more of a shooter than anything. And it's like, wow. Yeah, no, it feels like Metroid. It was great.
But as I was playing Splatterhouse, I did think that. I'm like, you know what? They should have just done like a retro download title, like, you know, like a new Splatterhouse for $10. That's just 2D.
Yeah, I would have been all over that if it had been something like an XBLA title, like in the vein of like Shadow Complex or something like that, like where it was just, you know, $10-$15. You give me like 5-6 hours of playtime and I can just go through, do stupid shit and then be done with it.
There's certain franchises, you know, they're good because of their simplicity. And so, yeah, when they try to bring it back, you know, they're that franchise in name only, not so much in gameplay. I don't know if you guys heard that, but NFL Blitz is being worked on right now. They're bringing back the arcade one, and it's like I guarantee you it's because of the success of NBA Jam. And I thought NBA Jam was, it blew my face off at PAX. I'm like, God damn, this game is still fun. It's not different. It's not very different at all, but it's still awesome. Uh-huh. And so you look at Blitz the League. That was the last attempt at keeping NFL Blitz in the, you know, relevant, but it's not the same game anymore at that point. So it seems like now they're trying to, you know, bring back the classic original game untouched, just prettier, which is a good idea for some things.
Right, like maybe Donkey Kong Country, right, Jeff?
Oh, that was brilliant.
Oh, that's a good segue. See, I set that up. I'm like, Chris, hit it out of the park. And he's like, I will.
Yes, Donkey Kong Country is amazing. I love it. That's my entire review. There you go.
It's all very cool.
Except for the rocket levels.
Right.
Oh, yeah. There's like these rocket levels where you control, you know, you're riding a rocket and you control it by tapping A. And how fast you tap A, you know, determines how high or low you are on the screen. And it's just a fucking, it's a pain in the ass.
And we all know if Jeff's bad at something, it's tapping A.
Well, at least this game is hard, man. I've seen a lot of...
Not everybody can tap A, you know.
That's true.
That's a skill.
You have to learn that over time.
You really got to get your arm into it, though.
But it's like, if you slow down your speed on the tapping A just a little bit, your rocket's going to drop all the way to the bottom of the screen, and then you hit something and you're dead. Like, it's really easy to let it drop. And it's hard to maintain like the right level you want to be at because it's you know, you're doing it by tapping A. It's fucking weird. It's a weird choice.
Which control set are you using? I know you can either use
You could do nunchuck and Wii Remote or like Wii Remote sideways, and I tried them both, and I have to say I really like the nunchuck and Wii Remote. Because, like, there's certain moments where you have to do motion controls. Like, it's not, like, thrown in there too much, but they kind of took a little bit out of the Donkey Kong Jungle Beat game where you're, like, pounding on drums, and it feels better doing it with, like, the Wii Remote nunchuck, just going, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-boom, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, either one kind of works, but I kind of prefer...
Does it bother you at all that it doesn't have a classic controller thing, or you can just hold down and press B and make him hit the ground or whatever?
No, because I like the way it feels with the Wii Remote nunchuck. I love doing that drumming stuff. Like, I love Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, like the one on GameCube. That game was excellent.
Yeah. But that you're actually hitting something. I don't know. At E3 with Fozzie, like, I felt, I don't know, I was a little pissed off because it's like, God, this could just be a button press. I hate, like, fucking wiggling my hands for no reason, you know? But
you know, sometimes like what I like about the Wii Remote nunchuck scheme also is like you can just kind of rest your hands in your lap, and if you don't have anything like Galaxy where you have to point at the screen, you're just sitting there. It's pretty like relaxed like a control method, you know.
Yeah.
So
I hated that about Galaxy.
It would be perfect if you didn't have to point at the screen. You know what I mean?
Yes, it would. That's the one thing about the game that bothered me.
The thing is with Galaxy, I mean, you don't have to point at the screen. I mean, those star bits aren't you know, that necessary.
Well, there are parts you can't advance without them, right?
Oh, yeah, but that would take, like, a little bit to collect them, collect as many as you need. But, it is annoying for sure. I'm hoping there's a Mario in the works for the 3DS. It'd be sweet.
I'm sure.
There's got to be. Yeah.
I'm sure.
How cool would that be, flying through space with, like, 3D planets flying at your face? It's so cool.
I love plants in my face. Let me just tell you how excited that gets me.
Yeah,
like, that's about all he ever gets in his face.
Well, what else would I get in my face?
Tits.
Some sticky vagina.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Do not you forget. Do not you forget. Get excited.
Yeah, doggy.
All right, Christopher. Let's keep this ball rolling.
So, Donkey Kong, good. Well, it's been 6 years, but GT5 finally released.
Sorry.
Is it? Did it come out already?
Yeah. I'm holding it in my hand.
I went to Best Buy just to make sure. I was like, oh my god, what is this doing here?
Yeah.
This can't be real.
And I don't know. I don't know if they needed 6 years to make this game, because it's a good game. It's a really good racing sim. There's a ton of content in here, but I feel Forza 3 did a lot of what's in this game better.
Wow.
It's just like there's like weird decisions on like the carts. Like, why are there go-karts in this game? Like, it just seems like frivolous. When you have this whole mode where there's go-karts or NASCAR or like it's these special bonus sections of the game, but then the first car I buy isn't fully rendered. Like, it has no interior. Like, wow. It starts you out and you're at that stupid bumper cam and then there's the bumper cam and then there's the cam that's like above the car. Mm-hmm. And that's it for the first car I bought.
Yeah.
There's no interior, no, like, I don't know, that really left a sour taste in my mouth right off the bat.
So certain vehicles have limited points of view to look through or to race
from? I think it's something like 80% of the vehicles have that. Yeah. Lack that interior.
What? 800 of them are non-premium, and then you have 200 premium cars. Yeah. So
there's like 200 cars have fully rendered.
That's ridiculous. I mean,
they couldn't just copy and paste like a standard interior into all the other ones.
Hey, here you go. Enjoy.
Chris, I didn't think you even liked sim racers.
Not a huge fan. Like, I enjoy the Gran Turismo games because there's so much to do in them. And I like the progression in them. Like, you get the licenses, you have to go to the next section, and you move on. And I played all the way through Forza 2 and Forza 3, but there was just so much more in customization with that. Like, I could actually make Forza 3 more of an arcade racer based on the way you can customize the settings and the AI and the damage models. And there was just so much more customization in gameplay than there is in this. And really, Gran Turismo basically comes down to buy your car, upgrade it with the best shit, and then your car is so overpowered that nobody on the track can beat you. So you just race right by them. And I haven't tried the online yet, but I've heard it's buggy as hell. So, I mean, that's where you would actually get your real competition from.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, because I played the Gran Turismo demo fucking forever ago, where it was just one car on a circular track. And
6 years ago.
Yeah, well, like, at least a year ago. And, like, that car was ridiculous. Like, it would just fly off the track, like, no matter...
Yeah, well...
I had to slow down to take a turn.
The problem with the demo was you couldn't customize the car to your liking. In the full game, and even in Prologue, you couldn't customize the car all the way, the way you wanted. You could set up, like, some modifiers to like let it handle a little bit easier for you, or you could turn on some assists that made it a little bit better. The demo that they released last year was also in conjunction with like a contest that they were running.
Yeah. Some guy, like the person that raced it the best, got to actually compete and he won or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Like crazy. He would actually get to go to like the driving school or whatever and run in a real race, which just seems dangerous. Like, you're good with the dual shock too? Sure. We're going to put you in this. Like,
no, I'm sure he was using the whole cockpit.
That's right. Well, he sat down in the car instead of a steering wheel. There was the dual shock sitting.
Well, actually, my question was, so I played that demo and the car was fucking uncontrollable, you know, like no matter how much I tried to do it. And I talked to Walter about it and he's like, oh, well, that's how it would be in real life. That you got to understand this game is an absolute sim. So, the car reacts exactly how it would and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, OK, whatever. And then I played the Forza 3 demo on my 360. And I fucking nailed that. Like, I got first place, and I loved it. It was great. And that's supposed to be a sim, too. So I'm just curious, like, I guess there are different cars on different tracks, but, like, what the hell's going on?
The cars in this, like, I don't know, maybe it's I just played it not. Like, I've been playing the Gran Turismo series since it came out on the PlayStation 1, but I felt that demo that you're talking about. I felt that car handled like shit.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I played that demo too, and like I was driving in the grass and hitting walls and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I know how to drive a car. Like, I've been driving for 12 years now.
This
is. Are you sure?
What kind of car can't drive out of grass?
I'm not having those same issues with the full game.
Okay.
And I never had those issues with GT5 Prologue, so I think that was just attributable to the fact that they had a shitty car on the track. And
it was a wonderful choice to release that as their little taste of a game that's been in production for 5 years at the time. Like,
yeah,
the hell?
And there's this thing called as I said, there's these different weird special modes that you can do as you progress. You unlock them and you unlock one early on. It's a NASCAR like training mode, and when you first go into it, Jeff Gordon like gives you a like an overview and he like teaches you about like NASCARs, and it is the worst lip syncing I've ever seen. My wife was like, it's awful, it looked like a kung fu movie.
Probably a bunch of Japanese dudes trying to keep the mouth how they think it would go with what he's saying.
I'm sure that's exactly what it is they had him speaking Japanese for the Japanese version.
Oh yeah,
it probably matches up perfectly with that.
Did Jeff Gordon have like anime eyes? Like they're like
no, but he's like, he just didn't look human either though. He looked like a crash test dummy. It was like Jeff Gordon, the crash test dummy.
That's awesome.
Like, so weird. But there's a ton of content. I'll be playing it for quite some time. But
you know, but I mean, I think that with the review, when they say it's a 10-10 simulator and a 5-10 game, did you read that part? Like in IGN?
This is IGN.
That's
pretty much how they summed it up. And I can kind of see where they're coming from.
That makes sense.
Like, this one is just, they're trying to tack on so much stuff to compete with. Because, I mean, when you think about GT4, that came out in the old generation console. Since then, you know, we've had PGR that's come out of stuff, Forza and everything. So I'm thinking that with this new GT, they might have been trying to, you know, just do maybe too much. You know, just with the new go-karts and the new track editor and the new Top Gear stuff, NASCAR stuff, it's almost like too much, but I guess maybe they're just trying to make it so that they're the definite racing experience or something like that. And in the end, I've heard negative things about it so far. So
yeah, it's a really good game. It's just all over the place. And I don't, did any of you play GT5 Prologue?
No. All
right. So it had this like really elegant looking menu system, and it was very simple. And the menu for the full game for GT5, it's just a clusterfuck of shit everywhere.
Sure.
It's like
that should be on the box.
Like, What the?
It's a clusterfuck of shit.
Enjoy.
It's just all over the place, and there's just so much crap going on. It's just like sensory overload. And it's like they did weird things. It's like in the old games, to boost your performance, you had to like get an oil change every once in a while, or wash your car. And in this, like, so if you want to go get your car washed, there's like four guys show up out of your PlayStation, and like they're like washing off your car, waxing it, and it's like a 30-second animation. It's like, why did they spend this much time on this?
Yeah.
Why is there, like, when I send my thing in for an oil change, why isn't it just like a meter going up and a meter going down? Why does my car have to get lifted up on a virtual lift? A virtual mechanic comes out, crawls underneath my car, and then there's like a 30-second animation of him changing my oil.
Can you skip it?
I don't know. It was like, why is this going on? I was just so dumbfounded by it. Like,
yeah.
God. And then like, to customize your car, like you change the colors of it, but you have to unlock the paint colors, and the way you unlock them is by buying new cars. What? So it's like, yeah.
That's
so
retarded.
So it's like, I bought a car and it was like this like weird blue color, because I can only buy like four or five cars off the bat, because everything is locked to your level now. So it's you start out at level zero, so you can only buy level zero cars, and you only get 20 grand to start with. So it's like, okay, I guess I'm going to buy some shitty ass like used car. So I bought this used car, and it was this weird blue, and I'm like, I don't really like that color. So I went to go change the color, and it's like, that's the only color I had. It's like, if you would like to change your color to something else, you need to unlock more colors. It's like, really, I have to unlock the colors to paint my car? It's just weird. Yeah. Weird design choices that just like plague like what could be a really good game.
You don't buy the colors, you have to unlock them.
Yeah, well, you buy a new car. Like, so say you buy
like
I have a blue green car, so that's the color I have unlocked right now. So when I get another car, it'll unlock that color. Like, so say I want to go buy like a red like Lancer, like, well, then I unlock like whatever color red that Lancer had, and I can use it on my original car. Change that. Yeah,
it's retarded.
It makes no sense. Like, but I just want to have like a black car.
Better buy a black Lancer.
Right. It's like, I just want like my fleet of like little black cars or little red cars. I don't. And then when you win cars, like, it's the weird colors like orange and like fuchsia, and it's like, why did they spend so much time doing it? And then I have a car that has no, I can't sit in, I can't drive it as in cockpit view, because there is no cockpit. It's like, you're on bumper cam. It's like,
so what you're saying is we should buy Hot Pursuit instead. Yes.
Fozzie, Hot Pursuit.
Well, yeah, if anyone was listening to last week's, me and Jeff gave raving reviews, but I have noticed that the single player...
You mean rave reviews. You didn't give raving reviews.
They were raving about it.
Same with anger.
Whatever. Still what I'm trying to say. But there is one problem, is that it kind of suffers from the whole blitz thing, where if you're playing single player, there's always going to be a car behind you. It never, no matter how many spikes you put down, it doesn't matter. They will always catch up. And I mean, I guess it adds to the challenge. I don't really mind it, because I still like trying to beat Jeff's records, which are so easy to beat.
So it's,
dude,
it's,
there's
it's,
one where I doubt you guys beat me. I beat you and Sean by at least a few.
I know. Hey, you calm down, mister. Yeah. Don't you worry. I'll get on that.
So it's okay. It's rubber banding AI.
Exactly. Rubber band AI. But for the most part, the multiplayer is still one of the best multiplayer racing games I've ever played. Hands down.
I like the single player too, man, because it feels like a multiplayer experience where
you're. Yeah, exactly. It's not bad. The AI is pretty good. Like, they'll hit you at the right spots. Like, I really don't have too many complaints. I'm really happy with it so far. That's probably why I didn't go pick up GT 5 when I was at Best Buy. I was like, man, I haven't heard that good of reviews, and I'm perfectly content with Hot Pursuit right now. So, yeah.
All right, so yeah, go get Hot Pursuit. You know, GT5 will be there. Just wait, maybe wait a little bit for it to drop in price. Tony, you've been playing some Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
It's like the only thing I've been playing or doing for that matter.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I thought the game from last year was one of the best games that came out last year, and this is better. I like a lot of what they did with the whole Brotherhood recruitment and being able to like train your own assassins and like call them in on missions was really cool. Although I do find it makes a lot of the missions a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, you don't even have to do anything a lot of the times. You just stand back and call your assassins in to kill everybody.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guards in the way, and suddenly they're all dead. Just kind of just walk through
just
and
walk
and
right
sneak.
By. Yeah.
I like the how they took the whole villa from the last game and made it into the entire city. I think it. I mean, I found it annoying to have to go all the way back to the villa every time whenever I wanted to build something, and it wasn't. I don't know. It just kind of felt out of place to go to leave my quest to go do that. But
yeah,
having,
which is,
like,
that's why I never finished that portion of the game because I never actually wanted to go back to my villa unless I had to.
Right. There was no reason to do it either. I mean, unless you were whoring yourself out for achievements, that was the only real benefit because you could get all the weapons and all that stuff in the towns. You didn't have to go all the way back.
Right.
But having it right next to you in Rome is kind of cool, and watching the city like build up and like freeing it from oppression. For some reason, that just does it for me. Like the notion that the people are downtrodden and you're.
Well, it's back. As you play along, the more towers you take down, the more areas you free up, the more the citizens kind of get behind you, and if you get in a fight, like they'll join in and. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty cool the first time I noticed that happened, where a bunch of guards ambushed me, and then these four guys just came running up out of
there. It's just like, where did you come from?
No, thanks. I haven't yet played any of the multiplayer, though. Have you gotten into that?
I've played a little bit of it. It's good when it works. But it is very reliant on people playing it properly.
Kind of like Left 4 Dead. That's like I love that game and I hate it at the same time.
Yeah, but Left 4 Dead is more you're relying on like three people playing with you properly. In Assassin's Creed, you're relying on like six or seven people playing against you properly. Because the draw of it is like I mean you get a contract on another player in the game. And they get a contract on somebody, and somebody else gets a contract on you. So you're all trying to track down your marks. So you're trying to blend in with the crowd by, I mean, the crowd is controlled by AI, so you don't want to stick out. So you don't want to run. You don't want to, like, be climbing on buildings to point yourself out, because then you're the person trying to assassinate you can spot you easily. So you're trying to basically be AI. And when it works, it works great. Like, when people are playing along, it's fantastic. But I've been in a couple matches where people are just running on rooftops, and it's like, all right, well, this isn't fun. It's just stupid now.
Well, I got to imagine it's got to get a little boring just slowly walking through a crowd. Aren't you guys all dressed up in crazy Joker outfits anyways, crowd's all normal.
There's like it's like 10 or so different like assassins characters you can dress as, and the crowd is actually populated with people that look like you. So you're actually citizens. You're dressed as citizens. So there's like you can be a doctor, and there are doctors that like walk around and they set up shops and There are some that like the Heliquin, which is like she's dressed up like a fucking clown. Like that one's a little obvious. It's like, all right, but like you can pick like a chick. She's basically like a smuggler like looking chick, and she looks like, you know, she could just be walking the streets, not as a hooker, but like, you know, just out there, and so you blend in, like, but yeah, I could see where if you're not into it, you're like, oh, this is stupid, I'm just gonna run around, I'm gonna do my cool assassin shit, but you do get more points for playing it properly. And that's how you upgrade, and when you upgrade your character, you get perks and that makes it better, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I'm curious if you have two assassins and they see each other, right? Like, let's say they're on a rooftop with nobody around them. How does that combat play out?
Okay, so you can only you have your mark. So say your mark is Fozzie, and
hey, hi,
and you're my mark.
Okay.
So you see me coming at you. You can't kill me. You can just stun me. So it's like you can only kill your mark, and if you fuck up your mark, you lose your opportunity to kill that person. You take a penalty where you have no mark for a little bit, and then it gives you a new one that you have to set out. But so you then have to find them. They could be on the complete opposite side of the map, and you're at a disadvantage because you've revealed yourself, you've killed the wrong person, or attempted to kill the wrong person, and now the person tracking you can easily find you.
So do you appear on people's radars, or is it you have to use your eyes?
There is this. It's not a radar, but there is an indicator showing when you're in range of somebody.
Kind of like sonar.
Yeah, well,
kind of like when you're playing the single player and you got that big like green dot when you don't know exactly where the person
is.
Right. It's like it'll let you know like the area.
But yeah, it starts off. It's this very small sliver of blue, and then as you get closer, it fills up a circle. So when it fills up, you're basically like in the area that person's in. And it'll give you an indicator of whether they're above or below you, because some levels have multiple like height areas. Yeah. But you wouldn't actually know who that. Like, you just have like in the top right hand corner is a picture of your mark. So you know what that person looks like, but they could be standing in a selection of like three other people that look like them. So. You're waiting for them to make a move or not make a move, because sometimes the computer AI will just like run away, and you can set off like smoke bombs, and the AI routine is when there's like a bomb or something that goes off, they run. So it's kind of funny to like throw like a bomb down and you see the AI run, but then like the human character is still standing there because like, oh shit, I wasn't expecting that. Like,
that's cool. That sounds interesting.
But then there's the team multiplayer, which is just, I don't want to play it. It's people running. The mode I played, it's 4-on-4, and it's basically assassins versus like the people that they're hiding from, the marks. And so the marks are like hiding, and it goes by it. You have to get a certain amount of kills or a certain amount of time that it runs on. And basically what happens is everybody on the attacking team is just running around trying to get to the kills first. And so, like, I'm trying to, like, play it properly, and I've never even played the mode before, and people are just running by me, and I ended up with...
Like, aye!
So, I don't know.
You know who would really like this game? You know who would really, really like this game? Jeffrey.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Oh, Jeffrey.
He's gone.
Oh, wait. Dang it.
He has died.
But I don't know. I don't come to Assassin's Creed to play the multiplayer though. So
it's interesting that that's supposed to be the main draw of this game, or that's what they've been hyping forever.
Yeah. But it's a good chunk of it itself. The single.
I guess that they had to do that because that's the biggest difference. Because really, this could. I mean, on first, this is Assassin's Creed 2 with new missions. You know.
Well, I mean, when you look at Mass Effect, you know that they're thinking about adding multiplayer for the third one, and I'm totally against that, but if they did, I know that they would probably hype the hell out of that, too. Oh, look at us, we got multiplayer, too. Sick!
I think you add multiplayer to these games, which were originally single player because their value decreased so quickly. Like, you adding the multiplayer, assuming it's good, hopefully gives that game replayability and, you know, gives it another 6 months.
I'm still playing Uncharted 2, you know, like crazy with a bunch of people, you know? So that definitely works with if it's good enough, you know?
Yeah, it just has to hit the right mark. That I'm sure Brotherhood is going to catch on with some people. It's just I have my multiplayer games and
and we all know, like, after Brotherhood, I think, you know, that sets a precedent. So on Assassin's Creed 3, more likely than not, will have multiplayer. Yeah, yeah. You know? It has to. And but, you know, with Mass Effect though, I don't. Everybody assumes it's going to be competitive. I think all they were saying is they're finally going to have co-op, which makes sense through even the first Mass Effect. You always have people with you, like your team.
Right.
So. Javi, The Sims. Yes. Tell us about it.
Talk to us, Javi. Talk to us. Dear Lord.
My Sims, let me show you them. I mean, I'm really impressed. It's like verbatim. It's the PC version.
You're playing on PS3?
Yeah. And, like, you know, like, they've made The Sims 2 for consoles, and Sims, they had, like, spinoffs of the first game also on consoles, but they had never been, you know, anywhere close to the PC version. They were always weird kind of spin-off.
I thought, like, Sims
2 Sims 2, where it had the exact same name. Huh?
Sims 2 was kind of close, but a little bit stripped down. But right. This one really is, like, it's like you're playing the full Sims game. Not like it is, but with some more, with the karma powers.
Right. And, and that also shows you why it took so long for them to do this, because it's not perfect by any means. Like, the lack of having a mouse, the lack of being able to point at all the shit on the HUD and actually, you know, interact with stuff that way, you really start to see, like, how important that is, because this game is jam-packed with menus. Like, there's just menus all over the fucking place with tabs all over the place, and so it's really inaccessible. Like, you have to, it takes a good couple hours to understand what every button on the controller does, and all the menus that are hidden throughout.
But once you get into it, like, it feels really smooth. Like, once you figure it out, it's like, it's nice. I liked it.
Yeah. I'm having a blast. I'm doing exactly what I used to do on the PC, just, you know, creating myself and hooking up with everybody in town. Yeah, doggy.
What five things did you choose for yourself?
I chose artist and writer. Because I'm a blogger, get it? Yeah, artist, writer, one of them is like social person or good.
Yeah, sociable or.
Yeah, sociable, something like that. And then good kisser.
Good kisser is a good one to pick because it makes it really easy to hook up with The Sims.
Yep. I always hate it though when you're like, you know, you see a guy walking around and you're like, well, I guess, you know, I'm trying to get all the trophies I can. So it's like, have five best friends. So I see a guy, I go start talking to him. And like every once in a while, you're like scrolling down because you're trying to make a whole list of, you know, conversation. You have to keep going back. And so I'm like, chat, talk about the day, talk about work. And then every once in a while, I'll click on like romantic on accident. It'll be like flirt. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I don't want to do that. So I see my Sim all like, you know, touching him. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Awkward.
Awkward. Yeah.
But no, I'm very impressed. It's that finally we get a real port of the PC version. It could run a lot smoother, and I really, oh man, I really wish you could fast forward just a little bit faster, man, because I can't tell you, like,
it stutters. It stutters when you fast forward. That's a big problem. But
well, I only fast forward when, you know, I have a list of things that I'm doing, so I never really worried about that. But I hate that about 40% of the time I've spent playing the game has been watching my guy sleep, you know,
or be at work.
Yeah, or watching.
But that's any Sims game, you know?
No, I know. It's not a problem with this specific one. It's just a problem with the franchise. I think you need to be able to skip that, you know? It should be shorter.
Yeah, when they're sleeping is when you can, like, wall them off from stuff, you know, torment them.
Yeah, but see, that's not every night. That's what a lot of people like to do. They like to just experiment with Sims, which is fine, but that's never, it's kind of funny. Me and my brother used to play this game all the time as kids, and we did totally different things. He would just use a cheat and get as much money as possible and then just build it, like he would build a like mansion with thousands of bedrooms and a huge house full of crazy people, and then I do the exact opposite. You know, I never cheat. I always make myself, and I start off humble in a little house and just get a career going and move out. Yep. You know, and then some people torture the Sims. You know, make them drown and do all that stuff. So it's kind of cool that this game can be used for many, many different, you know.
Yeah, purposes, I mean, there's so many things you can do with it. I turned off aging after Jeff told me I could, and it's awesome, dude. I have like a $100,000 house, and just like you. I didn't cheat, except I just made it so that he just doesn't get old. So.
Yeah, because if you have aging on, you're running against the clock. Like, my first playthrough, I reached the top of my career, and I died. And I unfortunately did not make reaching the top of my career a lifelong goal. So, like, I was going against the time like an idiot.
Yeah. No, dude, like, I'm an astronaut right now, so I only have one day to work. And there are times I'm just writing books and stuff, so... I have so much cash just coming through me, like, amazing. Nice. I love it.
I think I should turn aging off. I have it on, my lifespan is epic, so I have, like...
Oh, okay, yeah. So you have, like, 900 days, though, which is just, like, something ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm still a young adult, so yeah. I do have time, but I might turn it off, because I like being a young adult. I don't want
to... Yeah, I was, like, 2 days away, I was like, I'll turn this off. I was like, thanks.
Life's too short.
Yeah. Let's just extend it a little bit.
Forever.
Yes.
But yeah, I like The Sims a lot. I don't know if I'd. I don't know. There is a steep learning curve. The Sims has always been known as the game for, you know, girls that don't really care about games, but for some reason they all love The Sims. But you know, if you had a 360 or a PS3 and, you know, your girlfriend or whatever, I think it'd be a tough sell to get them to learn all those menus, because even I was overwhelmed. I'm like, wait, what are my challenge things and where are these points going to? You have like three different point meters and three different stores to spend them in, and karma powers and money. I don't know. So it is overwhelming, but yeah, like Jeff said, once you get a hang of it, it's fine. It's a lot of fun.
So that's The Sims. Before we take a break,
ooh.
Javi and I both saw Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Part 2.
What'd you think, Javi?
I enjoyed it, and it's kind of bittersweet because I've gone to every Harry Potter in November, like for my birthday, because my brother always took me. And then I've been watching these. I'm the same age as all the actors, so you look at Harry Potter 1, I was that little kid when I saw that in theaters. It's really... Hello? Yeah, it's surreal, man, looking back. But I have a huge attachment.
I feel old. Branch. Thanks, Javi.
I have a very large attachment to the movies, not so much the books. I've only read the first two when I was a kid, and it lost interest. But the movies are a part of my life. So, you know, going to see this last one in November, because I know the next one's in summer, was kind of bittersweet. That being said, the movie itself is... I don't know. We were saying earlier, Chris, that it's the first half of a much larger movie, so it's not sad.
It's Harry Potter and friends, you know? Go camping for 2.5 hours.
Exactly. I mean, it's a beautiful film. It's a beautiful film. No, there's great performances and stuff, but
it's not really any spoil. There's nothing to be spoiled in this first half. It's nothing happened.
Well, you do see Harry and Hermione naked as ghosts.
Oh, making... yeah, that was weird.
Wasn't it? Wasn't it?
I was like, really, I was fucking like, creepy.
this is all weird.
It's like,
I'm naked, Harry.
I don't have any problem seeing Emma Watson naked, but not next to Daniel Radcliffe.
Emma Watson, why is her hair cut short? Damn it. I don't like that at all.
It's growing back. It's growing back.
It's better.
But, weird, I've said this before. Is it weird that when I was a kid, I'd look at her as a kid and I'd be like, God, she's going to be so hot.
No.
And look how right you were.
I know. Look at me.
That's not weird at all. It was probably weird when I was doing it. But.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, she's got a nice little figure going on there. How's she doing? No, I mean, there's a way where you can tell.
Yeah, doggy.
Get excited.
Planets in your face.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds stupid, but I would have preferred that they just released both at the same time, and I could have, like, had, like, you know, a 20-minute pee break and gone and seen the second half.
See, I don't know, man. I'm kind of torn, because I think this frees up a lot of time for the next one to really, really spread its wings. If they try to jam-pack the little things that happen in here into another movie, you know, I don't know. It might take away.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with the fact they took 2.5 hours to tell this story. It's just the way it, I don't know, it's like, you know, you look back at films like Lord of the Rings, where you can look at each of those movies and each one works as a movie by itself.
Yeah. But
this one doesn't work as a movie by itself. It works as a movie as part of another, as a whole product.
And it's because, like, it is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Deathly Hallows is one book.
Yeah, so. And I mean, they don't exactly, like, try and pretend that it's not. Like, they're, like, part one. And
yeah, true.
And there is no break point in the book. There's no proper way to just cut it off and say, because it was never meant to be that way. So it's just an awkward ending.
You ever seen Titanic on VHS?
Yeah, it came on the two tape. So it's like,
the first tape, this ship will sink, and then it goes black, and you're like, what? And you got to put in the next tape. Like, that's exactly what happened in Harry Potter.
That would be how. But just imagine if you didn't have that second tape, and you had to wait 6 months for the second tape to get to your house.
I know. But that, it doesn't make that first tape any worse.
It was a good first half. It's just like, as a movie by itself, I didn't think it succeeded.
Yeah. I think we were 100% in agreement with this movie.
So.
Fucking, you look at, though, like, Kill Bill, I think that was chopped in half. But even, like, when they did that, the first half felt like its own movie.
Yeah, I actually like the first half of that more than the second, so.
You know, what's funny, I don't know what it is. Everybody I talk to, like, always praises Kill Bill 2, say that they like it more than the first one, even.
No way.
Yeah, I hate the second one. I think it's fucking garbage. The first one's amazing, though. I love that movie.
The second one is just, like, 40 minutes of, like, David Carradine talking about Superman. Like,
yeah.
It's like, this is literally stupid.
It's that. I know, I'm sorry if anybody here is a huge Tarantino fan, but, like, a lot of Tarantino is praised for having brilliant conversations in his movies, and I see it as obnoxious conversations, especially in, like, Death Proof, where it's all those bitches just talking about having sex with guys in their car, and I'm like, I can't stand any of these people. And I've talked to so many people where they're like, oh, that's my favorite part of the movie. It's so awesome, the way they're talking. I'm like, you're retarded. I hate it.
It's like, but nobody talks that way, though.
Yeah, exactly. Kill Bill 2 sucks. I said it.
Jeff,
the trailer scene's cool, where she rips the eyeball out. That was kind of cool.
We're gonna take a quick break, stock up some more alcohol, and when we come back, got some news. Tony's gonna supply us with some news, do some football picks, and maybe some mail.